with some introductory remarks. Number one, there is no right way to improvise. Number two, there are no right chord progressions. And number three, in theory, you can do anything you want in improvisation. You've got the range of the harps. You can be as weird as you want to be. You can be as exciting as you want to be. You can be as complex, as innovative as you want to be. However, we are therapeutic musicians, and the purpose of our music is relaxation. So having music, doing improvisation that doesn't tie together is probably not very useful to that end result that we're attempting to achieve. And doing improvisations where you're jumping from the bass to the high treble and in the middle and wandering all around is probably not very useful. And certainly having a lot of notes and a lot of different rhythms and just a busyness about it is not going to be very useful. So because we're looking at therapeutic music specifically, which is less is better, simple is better, and I think just in learning how to improvise, this is a good rule of thumb, we always want to have some self-imposed limitations. So yes, in theory, the sky is the limit, but in reality, for it to work, for it to sound good, for it to hold together, for us to be comfortable with it, you know, putting a two or three simple rules on it, a frame of reference, which I'll talk about how to do that, is going to be really useful. Because in order to achieve the result of relaxing music, you just can't do all those things that you might be doing if you were performing. So that's the good news and the bad news. I think it's good news because I don't want to have to do all of those things. The next thing that I would say is that I'm going to give you suggestions. And improvisation, I think, is something that we can always grow with. And improvisation is something that is reasonably new in my musical career. I have been playing since second grade, and only in the last probably 7 years have I really begun to have any degree of comfort with improvisation. And really in the last 2 years, and particularly in the last several months, I've made leaps and bounds in it. So what's comfortable for me and what I show you and demo as suggestions are only suggestions. The chord progressions that I might suggest are only ones that I have found that work. And some of them come out of pieces, so there are composers who have found that they work. But they're not the only ones. And the way you find out what else works, you just try. You spend some time every day or on a regular basis just trying things. And some things that you do, you'll say, oh, gosh, I'll never want to do that one again. And other things, you'll wish that you'd had it 5 years ago. So improvisation is not a skill that I believe that you get after you practice for a month and then you've got it. I think it's going to be a journey, just like the journey into therapeutic music. So what I'm trying to do with these calls is give you starting points. I remember that when people used to ask me to improvise in a workshop, that, you know, leader would put a smile on her face and say, oh, yay, now we're going to get to improvise. And then I just sunk into the carpet. And improvising really can, it's fun, it's joyous, and it starts with baby steps. So I want to give you some of those baby steps and give you a sense of what they can give you, and then you can move forward, because they build, and they build, and they build. And I will try to address these two questions, and if there's more information, then I can always follow up in an email with the notes on it. So I'm going to, first of all, do a really fast review of some of the things that I covered the last time to get everybody on the same page. The first thing that's really important to pay attention to with improvisation is what chord you're in. So if I'm in C, my triad is C, E, and G. And no matter what C, what E, what G I play on the harp, I'm doing a C chord. And I'm talking about this in terms of being tuned in the key of C. So you don't always want to play that as a C chord or even the full chord because it's kind of boring. So the question is, how do you vary that? So I can vary it by doing a 1, 5, 10, 8, and I can just keep going up that way, and I can do a 1, 5, 8, 9, 10, and again, keep going. I can do an open chord, a 1, 5, 8, and then a 9, and continue on up. And that's a really, really nice sound. I can do certainly just a 1-5, or I could just do a drone. It's a 1-5. If I want to take this idea of putting in the 9, I can apply that in a chord progression. So I can do a C, and I'm going to muffle just so you can hear the voice. And then I can go to an A minor. A C to an A minor is a really nice progression. And I can go to an F. Things that I could do with the chord. I don't always just have to go up. I can I could be doing a 1-5. There is, I've used 1-5 as my anchor in the bass, and I just kind of noodled down, did a waterfall, what I call it, and then I looked for something in the C chord, because that's the chord I'm in. So I kind of landed on an E and went down to a C. So I'm going to stop there and see whether I lost anybody. Is there anyone that has a question that doesn't have a sense of what I've been doing? Okay, good.
See?
So moving on, one of the ways that you combine what you're doing with your left hand, and I consider the left hand really your anchor. It's giving you the bass notes that you're going to focus on. So if I'm in a C chord, then the 1-5 is really important. If I'm in an A minor, again, 1-5, my A and my E is what's going to be really important. And if I'm in D minor, Dorian mode, then it's D and A. The 1-5 is really, really important to anchor to. And if I use that anchor, then if I stay on a C, for instance, I can do anything I want in the right hand. As long as I come back to G, Now, if I wanted to change to another chord, I can follow a normal chord progression, and one of the ones that I just did is to go C, A minor, F, G, C. And that's in a lot of music. So if I want to do that, then I start out in C. And now I'm going to use a common note in both the A and the C, which is C. So when I move to the A 1-5 in the left hand, I'm going to be on some note in the A minor chord. And in the A chord going to the F chord, the common note is going to be A in both the A and the F chord. So I can now I'm going to move to the G chord. So I landed on a note of the G chord in the right hand. So I can change what mode I'm in or what my main tones are by having my right hand kind of follow what's going on in my left hand, using the left hand as an anchor. So I can do... you know, that's a chord progression that could be done. You could take the chord progression for Greensleeve. Take any piece that you already know, look at what the chord progression is in the left hand, take away the melody, and make up your own. You don't have to figure out what chord progressions to do. Just look at the music that you already know. Use those as a basis. So if I do Greensleeve, the chord progression in that I use is A minor, G, F, E. So if I use that, of what I did, but all I do is keep playing with it until I come up with something that I really like. I could do something probably like... to vary my rhythm, because using a 1-5 is a little limiting. You could do a 1-5-8. But if I wanted to do use C as my bass, now I'm going to A minor. So that's a really different sound than if I just go... the difference in the rhythm. if you use that pattern, which is a 1, 5, 10, 8, and then a 1, 5, 10, and with your rhythm, you could do that on a D minor. Let's see, actually A minor. You want to go between, or you could go into even a third chord. Another thing that you can do, which is kind of interesting, my harp teacher just shared this, and I really have fun playing with it. You take a phrase in a piece, so. I'm going to do the last phrase in the piece, She's No Shearing for You. And you just play that phrase and let it speak, and then move from it. That one works really well. I've done that on the end of Starve County Down. But you could pick any phrase, or you could pick a couple of phrases in a piece, and that would be a way to extend pieces, familiar pieces, or even tunes that wouldn't be familiar, but a way to extend them or break them up, and just pick some key phrases that you're going to take off from, and then come back to it. And maybe do a little more of the piece, or just do that phrase for a few times, then come back and do the piece. Any questions so far?
Dee, this is Linda.
Yes.
Pretty much what I'm hearing, and what I do also now that I've started doing some of this improv, is it's mostly non-rhythmic. And I'm puzzled as to how to make it, what if we need to make it rhythmic? Is there anything magical about that?
I think the magical part is probably practicing.
Yeah.
You could take a 1-5-8 and be totally steady with that. You actually could do the same with this. You could certainly can do the 1-5 that way. You're correct. It's really, I find it much easier to do it as non-rhythmic or certainly a relaxed sense of rhythm. But I think the secret to doing it rhythmically is to create a pattern. So that pattern would be really easy to keep steady. If I filled my bass note all of the time up with pretty much with notes, and I don't have these long pauses and waiting 3 beats. I mean, those 3 beats while I'm wandering around in my right hand gives me time to mess up the rhythm. But if I'm moving, and filling up the beats, that kind of holds me to the tempo. Does that make sense?
Yes. Thank you.
So I think a good one for that is the 1-5-10-8, and then on up. And I think that, and you could do, that's not as interesting.
Okay, thank you.
And I would definitely be using a metronome, you know, as you're kind of planning that. And after you do some of these improvisations, you get your own basic style and comfort. And there are some things that you just pull out of the hat. I was playing for a patient today, a hospice patient, and it was very interesting because as near as I could tell, every time I went into any kind of modal playing, he would kind of wake up and get a little agitated. And every time I went into a C, an F, or a G, all major chords, it didn't matter what I did, then he was fine. He's the first person, incidentally, that that's ever happened to me with. But I really like minors, and I do a lot in minors, and so it was a challenge for me to stay in the major chords, and I definitely don't have that much repertoire in terms of tunes in major, so improvisation was totally a lifesaver. And you can go between your C, F, and G chords and stay really quite bright. Are there other questions? When you are looking at different things to try with improvisation, I would really pay attention to some of the bass lines in music that you're probably already familiar with. This pattern this comes out of Stella Benson's Healer's Way, Volume 2, and she does an improvisational melody line, and I love the whole piece, but I couldn't figure out how I was ever going to remember how she had written it, what her notes were in the treble. And one day I just got it, that the whole point of it is this. And then I could do anything I wanted up on top. And it's wonderful. And then I did the same thing with another piece that she had, and I've tried it on other things where somebody's done, you know, one of the other things that she did was and this is a piece that then is played in, it could be played in pentatonic, and it is a pentatonic piece. And all of the meandering in the right hand is all pentatonic. And this is just an A chord, A minor, and a G, two open chords. But instead of playing it bottom up, 5-1-8, 5-1-8, pause. And that one would be pretty easy to keep in rhythm, I think, as well. So the door that opened for me about 3 months ago was the whole thing of looking at music that already exists, look at what they've done with the bass patterns, forget about what they've done in the right hand, and use the modal strategy of anchoring on the 1 and the 5. So as I change chords, whatever I'm doing in the left hand, then I focus on the 1 and the 5. And one of the things that you find also is if you relax your tempo and you're doing a, that's a dissonance. I'm playing A in the right hand with a C and a G in the bass. Now, if I'm in a hurry and I say, oh, my gosh, that's a mistake, I got to do something different, then I fumble and I rush to another note, as opposed to, resolve it. So it's okay that I hung there. I could have even emphasized it. I don't have time to even think about how to resolve it. And if I consider it's the wrong note and I shouldn't have been playing it in the first place, then I'm going to be trying to fix it. And that's different than letting it ring and then resolving it. I mean, potentially you could even muffle it. But there's no reason to do that. So improvisation, part of improvisation in therapeutic music is staying in a contiguous range, not jumping all over the harp. Your 1 and your 5 anchors just gives you lots and lots of flexibility and provides some continuity in what you're doing. You still can wander around up in the treble. And you certainly can go more than one octave, but you don't want to be jumping, because your patient is having to follow that if you're doing that kind of jumping. And if you're in a relaxed tempo, then you have time to breathe with it. I know you've heard me say this, but breathe with your music. If I'm on the wrong note, if I'm breathing, I it just naturally flows and follows. aren't any wrong notes. When you're improvising, playing around yourself, you know, one of the things that we do to frustrate ourselves is we're improvising, but we have this plan. So we put our fingers on the notes, and then it doesn't quite sound like it was supposed to according to our plan. And part of the secret of beginning to really be comfortable with improvising is to let go of any plan and have every single note be right. So there's no wrong note. Now, when you are playing for a patient, that is not the time to experiment with improvisation. So when you're playing by yourself to figure out what you like, what you don't like, how to do it, what the patterns are that fit with you, what's your style, what's your sound, that's your experimentation so that you can be ready and you have the appropriate tool of improvisation that you can use when you're playing at bedside. You don't just start improvising at bedside when you have never done it with a piece, when you've never done a transition between a couple of pieces. And I'm not saying that you have to have a planned improvisation between piece A, B, C, D, E, otherwise you can't do it. But once you develop your comfort level with improvisation, you apply it across the board. The principles work no matter what. And they're not that complex. If you spend a lot of time in C, tuned in C, and even on the C chord to get some of these concepts, then you can transfer them easily into other modes and keys. Linger. That's part of relaxing. Don't be afraid to linger. Don't jump around. Stay simple. Limit your options. Sometimes when you sit down to play, you know, I sat down once. I heard a harpist, one of our graduates actually, who had it on a recording in Johnson City. She did this, and I heard it, and it was wonderful. And I sat down and tried it, and I discovered there wasn't much I could do wrong with it. But part of it was remembering where was I in the bass, and then come home to that in the right hand. And otherwise, I was free to do it. So I did that in lots of different keys. And I just did nothing but that for 10 or 15 minutes to play around with it and see what the different sounds were. And I started in different places and ended in different places and did different tempos. So that would be limiting my option at that point. If I choose to take a phrase out of Sheeran's No For You, or I take a phrase out of Star of County Down or some other piece, and I use that as a base to then move away from and come back and move away from them and come back, that's a limitation that I'm putting on that particular kind of play session with the improvisation. Sometimes I've done, well, I'm only going to move in thirds in the right hand, or I'm only going to move single steps, or I'm only going to do octaves. And some of those things I don't want to do, I don't want to keep doing. And some of those things turned out to be really nice. And then in modulating from chord to chord, there are some chords that I move between that I really like. And then some I've kind of said, oh, no, I don't want to do that. It's not graceful. It just doesn't sound pleasing. And then breathe. And I guess I would add, have fun. You know, improvisation, I think, invites us into the joy of music. If we can just let ourselves go and play with it and not have expectations that we have to be virtuosos. And the nicest thing about therapeutic music is we have to be fluent, but we do not have to be virtuosos to be effective therapeutic musicians. So that's what I wanted to cover. Comments or questions? Anything else? There was the question of, let me see if I can answer the question of the relative minor. So if I were playing something in A, my rule would be any different for a relative minor, Linda. I think the issue is wherever I am in the base, if I'm already in, my relative minor in C tuning is going to be A minor. So if I'm at an ACE, then when I move to the next modulation, I want it to have preferably the E, but it could even have the C in it. The E would be the common tone. And the common tone could be in a C chord. It's the first note of the E minor chord. So I might do that. From there, I probably don't want to do that. That's kind of ugly. So I'd want to do something. So I went to C using the E. So look at your common notes and then play around with it. If you went to something like that B, That's where you have the problem in any key. You end up in that Phrygian kind of chord, the seventh. And if you play with it and you're not seeing a way to go, send me an email and tell me what you're doing and remind me of the question and I'll address it. And Samantha, your question of what's the appropriate time to do improvisation, go back to tunes and so forth, there isn't the right way. And it may be something to take offline or not. Hopefully some of the information that I've given gives you some ideas on it.
I think that this, simply put, in the level one, you know, like you broke it down in the first conference call, could be also not just designated as improv, but as a way to segue. And that was another mystery for me. And I just didn't get it. I was just puzzled over the whole thing. And once I had this conference call with the very first one on improv, it was like the light bulb went on. And I thought, oh, yeah, well, that's how you do a segue. And it doesn't have to be long. You don't have to do a whole 5-minute thing on it. It just helps to move smoothly into the next tune. And so perhaps if you addressed it in that manner, too, is that it's not just improv. It's also learning how to segue. And I think that that would really help in the level one. For those that, you know, are advancing on to level two, then, you know, emphasizing it more in the improv.
Yep. That's great feedback. Well, and one of the things that I know you said that it doesn't have to be 5 minutes of segue, but one of the things that I noticed when I have listened to what some folks have done for segues is that they feel like they really need, you know, it sounds like they have to get done with it. And so I'm just getting into what they're doing with a segue, and now they've gone on to a piece. Rather than treating the segue in a leisurely fashion. And in the same way that we encourage you to repeat tunes that you're playing and not keep switching from tune to tune to tune or selection to selection, I think that when you have a kind of a chord progression segue to just do one strum of a chord and then move to the next and move to the next and move to the next and now you're into the piece really is a disservice. That you can linger on every single one of those chords before you move into the piece. certainly not disagreeing with the person who just suggested we don't have to do 5 minutes of improv for segues, but I also, what I hear often is just too much of a rush to move forward. Well, I will endeavor to include information in level one. I can do that pretty easily and immediately. And when I create that information, I will disseminate it. Anything else before we end the call? Well, thank you all for your participation. It's been a pleasure, and I'm glad that we finally got this call done. No technical difficulties. So
thank you so much, Dee.